We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 86. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com. And hello!
Hello.
So, here's the thing. We haven't talked since, what, before Christmas?
Yes, that is
so
correct.
Happy New Year, everybody!
I couldn't remember. That's how long.
And to celebrate, we have no news. There's just nothing new.
Nothing has happened since Christmas, so...
Lots of stuff has happened, but, like, there's nothing that has stuck with me that would be interesting to talk about.
Exactly.
Or anything recently in the last week that seems discussion worthy.
Exactly. So that's pretty much it.
What was it that got picked up during TCA?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, never mind then. Thought there was something that you guys liked that got picked up, but guess not.
There could have been, but so
I'm sure there was. I just don't remember.
Obviously nothing so important that you were so excited that you would remember. So that's what I meant.
Okay. So there's that. And that's all we really got today until we're, I mean, like, we don't have a topic.
Thanks for listening.
So we're just going to jump right into prime time because there's a lot of shows we want to talk about. So we'll just kind of go through the long list here and everybody can give their feedback and blah, 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 blah. So we'll go Sunday to Saturday order. Starting with Sunday night, premiered on January 9th on Showtime, we are talking about Shameless. Shameless, starring William H. Macy. What? Who put this on the list?
I did.
I didn't mean to say it like, why is that? I meant like...
yeah, I did. What do you make of it?
Was there something specific you wanted to discuss, or...
I put it on the list, too.
Okay, I couldn't remember, because I combined them, but I wasn't sure.
All right, I just wanted to say that I enjoyed it. I don't have Showtime, so... I'm relying on maybe having screeners, maybe not having screeners to see the rest of it, but I enjoyed episodes 1 through 3 a lot. Probably the third episode is the one that really made me want to keep watching.
That's the interesting thing is that have either of you watched the British version?
No.
No.
Well, the first two episodes are like an exact copy of the first two episodes of the British version.
Really?
I mean, you could almost switch the soundtracks and they would fit perfectly. I mean, they basically changed, they Americanized the dialogue and, you know, and have set it in a different town. But the setting, you know, right down to having, you know, an old van in the front yard and all kinds of stuff. Everything is exactly the same. And all the situations are the same until the third episode, which I've only seen the first few episodes of the British version. So there's like 80 of them. They're in like season 8 or 9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so who knows if they've copied other things or whatever after that. But the third episode of the British version and the third episode of this are different. They don't follow along the exact path. And I think it became more interesting to me because of that. And I think it's interesting that that's the episode that most people seem to think that they like. I've heard that from other people besides Ray, that the third episode was their favorite, or that they really liked that episode. And so I think that bodes well for the series, is that it's good as a complete remake of, you know, shot by shot, but that they also have their own ideas and stories to tell in, with these characters, not just completely rehashing everything that's been done in the exact same way that's been done before over there.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people who do like it, but don't like it. I don't know. I enjoy it. I think it's good. I think that it annoys me that Emmy Rossum's accent changes like all the time. Sometimes she's really got a deep, you know, Chicago accent. Other times she doesn't.
See, I just don't even. I clearly don't have an ear for that stuff because I don't hear it at all.
Yeah, I apparently don't either because... I hear Annie or other people mention things about different people's accents, and I very seldom ever notice that stuff. I heard somebody say something about that about the guy on the cape.
Yeah, his is bad too. His is bad.
He slips it in, and I was like, It just sounds like him. That's just what he sounds like. I don't necessarily hear a difference between, like, he's trying to go like he's going back and forth between an American accent and his accent or whatever. I just hear that's what the character sounds like, you know? I don't know. It's kind of funny. No, but if you want to do something weird, though, just super strange, and you haven't seen the British version, watch the first episode of the British version, and it is really strange to watch just the exact same thing, but everybody has, speaking of accents, everybody has British accents, and it's, you know, a different setting a little bit, but it is kind of weird. It's like going and seeing a play and then seeing it again with a completely different cast.
Mm-hmm.
But yet both groups of people are really good at what they're doing. So anybody else have anything else about Shameless?
I don't think so. Well, it's just that we're enjoying it. So we're moving on to Mondays, because we have a lot of Monday shows. Up first on my list here is Chuck. Who put this on the list?
Me, probably.
Okay. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Not specifically, just that I continue to enjoy this season.
Yeah, me too.
I like their song choices. No! Sorry, that was for the cat.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! What was that?
I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, no. The cat was like...
I thought maybe you were changing your mind on whether you really like the song choices or not.
No, I don't like Chuck anymore. No.
Amazing! No!
I like the song choices. No, actually I don't.
Jesus Christ, where did that come from?
I'm so sorry. I looked down and realized the cat was like eyeing the bed like I'm going to jump up there, and my laptop is right where he was looking to jump. And it's the big cat, so it would have been an interesting problem. I don't know if my laptop would have survived. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, Chuck. Yes, I do enjoy their song choices. I've changed my mind again. I enjoy their song choices. I don't know. I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah, I think their music is great. I love it. I think the season's been fantastic.
It's been a good season, and the first couple episodes back here in January have both been really good. I like when they set these things up where now they're having Sarah mirror. They told you about the story of his mother in the first half of the season, and now they're having it mirror that. And so I think that's an interesting story choice for, you know, to finish out the rest of the season or however much longer they go with it. Since they've gotten weird pickup numbers on how many episodes they got when and stuff, and so it'll be interesting to see how long arcs actually go or whatever with that type of stuff. But while in this episode, this last episode last night, Chuck versus the Gobbler was, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in it, but every once in a while it's still, like, I put up with it, but it still bothers me a little bit when everything hinges on, like, Casey getting hurt more than it was thought that he was going to be, so he can't say anything, and then she gets just the right piece or wrong piece of of advice from Chuck's mother, so she turns off her phone. I understand you gotta do that kind of stuff, you know, to create these things, but sometimes it's so obvious, the machinations that are going on, that it bothers me a little bit, but I'm mostly able to forgive it with Chuck because it's so much fun with the rest of the stuff.
Here's what bothered me about Chuck last night, and it's nothing storyline-wise, nothing like that. The Gobbler has been on the show before.
I know. That bothered me, too.
And nobody mentioned it? Like, he was named Yuri in season one.
I know. Well, wasn't he still named Yuri here?
He was still Yuri.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody mentioned that it was somebody that they've already beat up or whatever.
Right, like, I thought he was going to come around the corner. Like, when he stopped in the prison and, like, had that look on his face, I thought it was going to be, he knows me already, so this isn't going to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought it was going to be. And then they didn't do it. And I was like, he would know that he's not a regular prisoner.
Exactly.
I'm actually going to wait and see what happens at the beginning of next week's episode before I think that Chuck has made that automatic. Like, I think at the window, it's understandable that he has that moment where he's not sure, but I'm not sure. I think he actually feels like Sarah betrayed them. So I'm going to have to wait and see what happens next week. Because really, I thought that she was going to turn on the decoder and it was going to say that he said, "I love you." So
yeah, I thought the same thing.
Because it came because it came right after Morgan said to Alex, he loves you. So I really felt like that was what he was going to say, not that he was going to say, how could you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So I'm going to wait and see till next week to believe that it's actually.
Well, it's always a good thing because they've clearly set it up to make you think that. And so.
Yeah. Right. So I think that maybe.
Yeah. In a show like this, it's
I have a little more trust in them.
Yeah.
Especially since I know that next week they're concluding that storyline. So it's not like. Because right. they expected.
Well, thanks for spoiling me.
For you guys.
Jeez.
I'm not saying.
Spoiler alert.
It's episode 13. They thought it was going to be the end. They didn't know if they would get picked up again.
Right.
Oh my God.
I'm telling
and
you.
And the previews for the record made it clear. But that's why I'm just like, well, how much of a distrust is it going to be? You only have one episode to do whatever with. So we'll see. I'm excited for next week since.
Yeah, I am too. I really like what.
So excited about it.
He seems so, so excited about it. And I love Timothy Dalton. Gonna be bummed to like be done with him because I'm sure he'll be done. I just love it.
Yeah, he seems like he's having an incredible amount of fun.
Yeah, he really does. See what happens. Looking forward to it. That's Chuck. So here's a show I'm not watching: How I Met Your Mother. Discuss.
Are you still watching Ray?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to make sure.
I never had the problems that Amory had with it. I didn't like last season, but I didn't dislike it enough to hate the show.
Yeah.
To give up on it and miss out on a season that's...
She's valid. If she wasn't enjoying it, then she wasn't enjoying it. I'm not questioning.
I watched one episode this season.
I'm just saying that she's missed out on a sort of return to better than last season. But anyways, what'd you think of the last two episodes? The countdown episode and then...
I watched the funeral episode.
I actually
because everybody talked so highly about, I don't know.
They talked highly about that one?
Well, they talked highly about both of
them.
Or
they talked highly...
Well, they talked
anyway,
highly about the first one.
I enjoyed the last...
So, Ray, what do you think about the last couple episodes?
I was just letting her finish.
Oh, wait, hang on. I'm getting yelled at for... Never mind.
I enjoyed them, actually. I understand that people, including the person I live with, was like... That's kind of a sad thing to happen in a comedy. But I think that they've earned the right to have those moments happen to these characters. And I thought they did a good balance of the humor with the seriousness. And quite frankly, both episodes made me bawl like a little baby. So I guess they worked for me. I thought there were some really stellar performances at moments in those episodes. So
I think both episodes were really good. I think that the episode with the countdown to it was a misstep, is that it took away from kind of everything else that was happening. It distracted you. If you noticed it happening, then you started watching for what the next thing was and weren't necessarily paying as much attention to. And then to have inside of a comedy, to have a gimmick like that count down to like the biggest sort of drama element they've ever done was kind of strange. I think if you sort of watch that episode without that countdown, I think it works really well. And then is followed up with, I think they did a really good job with the funeral episode. It fit well with these characters. And then, you know, pushing forward to Barney wanting to actually find out, you know, who his father is and all that stuff. And I think you have to have some of these types of moments, especially if you have... A season, you know, you have stuff go on, you know, season after season. I guess you could have him only relating the happy or the happier odd moments of their life to his kids or whatever. But it seems that these types of moments are, you can't like drop something like that in a first season or something like that.
It's been long enough that
I think you have to do these types of things in comedies because, you know, without some drama or sadness, there is no. You got to have a little bit of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's...
I will say that, to be perfectly honest, I didn't even notice the countdown, so I thought that other episode was perfectly effective.
Well, see, that's the thing, is I...
Because I was reading Twitter, I didn't notice the countdown, so...
I had saw something on Twitter, not about the countdown, just that something big happens you know, in the episode. And so I had shut off Twitter to not accidentally find out what the big news, you know, or what had happened. And I hadn't seen the title of the episode, so I wasn't thinking that there was bad news coming necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw 48 or something like that, and then I remembered that the last time they were there it was like 50 or something like that. And then I started seeing all of them all the way through. And so I figured, you know, it was counting down to something, but when it was actually counting down to not just bad news, but the biggest bad news that they've ever dropped on the show, it was kind of disconcerting, but not in the way that I think that they were hoping for, type of thing. That I think that gimmick would have been fun in an episode that ends with something fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were going for sort of that misdirection, except that they called the episode bad news, so
right.
I'm not sure how you know how much misdirection they were actually going.
The name of the episode, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, they notice it maybe afterwards or, you know,
yeah,
what I mean,
I had, really like I said, even though I was watching it, having recorded it, I didn't even really notice the name of the episode when I was clicking out to watch it, you know.
The other thing I wanted to say was that I had this discussion with Mona, I guess, since Amory's not watching anymore. I am slightly more convinced that the wedding at the beginning of the season is Barney and Robin, and that I think that this is the beginning of the moment, beginning of the time, I guess, where the turning point, I guess you'd say, for Robin and Barney, because Barney's obviously having a turning point. And I think we've seen that, you know, this event has made Robin think a little too about her life. So I think this maybe could mark the beginning of them finally being able to come together on the same path. So it'll be interesting to see. I just wanted to say it before we moved on. All right, now we can move on.
It's on the record.
Yeah.
It's on the record.
Moving on from How I Met Your Mother to a new show to sci-fi anyway, Being Human. I think it helps that I've never seen the British version or the original, whatever you want to call it, but I quite loved it. Like, I'm really charmed by the show.
Have you seen the British version, Ray?
I actually watched the British version right before, like, the week before this, like the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. I think it probably helps that I didn't actually love the British version.
Oh, good. Okay.
So that's interesting. So we have
a lot of people love the British version so much that they can't even focus on trying to like the new version.
I'm sort of in that camp. I think, but I think part of it is not just that I really liked the first season. I liked the first season of Being Human, the British version, better than the second season. I think the compact story arc of in six episodes or whatever and where they go to just works really well. And has a great ending episode for that season. I think my biggest problem is that I watched it, like Ray did, right before I watched the screener episodes that I had for this one. And having liked that one so much, and then seeing them so close together, it was hard to extract elements from both. Like, you were adding in story elements or thinking things maybe about these new characters, based on what you'd just seen, because it was all fresh in my head. But I think I might have enjoyed, while I like it a lot, the sci-fi version, I think I may have enjoyed it more had I never gone and watched the previous version or had waited till after I saw these episodes and then gone back.
I don't know. I think I like the cast so much that it just clicked for me.
Well, I do really like the cast. I don't know. The first episode was kind of weird, or the first two episodes as sort of a two-part opening.
For what it's worth, I've only seen the first episode, so.
So you haven't seen Last Night yet?
No.
Okay.
I don't get screeners, and I had class last night.
So even in the first episode where they sort of all meet, I don't know, it didn't quite, I mean, well, the other two had already known each other, but they meet the ghost. It just seems sort of strange how they, I don't know.
Really? Because I thought the UK, they did a much better version than the UK version at explaining how they came together. Like, I watched the UK version and I don't get what's, like, all of a sudden they were living together and they were past the point where they even know she's there. Like, they just knew her. Whereas on this one, I felt like they at least kind of like introduced us to her.
Hmm.
It just seemed, I don't know, it seemed a little strange. I don't know, it seemed a little quick to me. But I do really like Mark Pellegrino, I think is how you say his name or whatever.
That's how you say his name. I think he's creepy in this role. Creepier than he's ever been, because he looks normal.
You know, Jacob on Lost. I think he is significantly creepier as Bishop than the guy that played Bishop in the British version. I think he's like perfectly cast for what they're going for here. I think my biggest problem with this version is that, I don't know, somehow I got it in my mind after the Orlando trip and listening to them talk about it, that they were going like a completely different direction than the British version. But yet, while things are different, they're very much the same in this version.
No, I mean, it was always going to be about a werewolf, a ghost, and a vampire. And
well, I understand that, but it seems like they're on a very similar path story-wise. Like, it wasn't just that they were starting there and they were going to go and build out a different story path. They still have, when you bring in characters like Bishop and stuff like that, it makes everything seem... Now, it's not... I'll at least give them that they didn't do exact copies like Shameless did, or Skins for that matter, with doing almost an exact copy, exact replica of the first episode or two. But for some reason, I expected it to be... I'm giving it more time to before I fully form that sort of opinion, to see if they do diverge a little bit in the next few episodes, where that feeling might go away. And, you know, they may not go to the exact same ending where they... ended on the last one. Plus, they're going, what, 13 episodes for a first season? And they did 14 episodes in the first two seasons of the other. So I don't expect them to do what they did in two seasons in one season here, necessarily. So it'll be interesting to see where they go on that.
Well, I'm in. I'm enjoying it. And we'll see what happens with that. Next up is Greek. Greek is back with what everybody is saying are the final 10 episodes, which I thought was announced. But everybody's still kind of saying, like, assumed final season.
Yeah, I haven't...
I thought it was announced. They've all said on Twitter that they were at
I thought that too.
Party. It's been a great so many years, and... What?
All right. I just wanted to make sure I was in the right here.
Isn't What's-His-Face doing something else now?
I don't know what
Sean Smith?
I mean, I thought
probably.
Yeah, I thought it was back... They barely even got these 10 episodes.
Right. And I really am liking the episodes I've seen so far. We've seen three, right? So far this January?
Yes.
You've both watched through last night's Beaver episode?
The Beaver episode is fantastic. Yes.
Greek, 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 Greek.
That was one of the funniest things in the whole episode.
Greek, 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 Greek.
That's what he does.
I love it.
I couldn't remember as I was waiting for the credits. I was like, "What did he do during the credit?" Because I had watched the screener beforehand. I was waiting when I was watching the thing last night. I'm like, "What did he do for the credits?" And then when he started doing the Greek, 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 I was like, "Oh, that's right."
I love it. I love it.
I love you.
I love Catherine. I think that she is genius. I just think she's so funny. And in non-Beaver storyline, is this the episode where Ashley's totally in love with Rusty, which I called last year, and everybody was like, no, I think they're just making them friends.
Well, we talked about back then how it looked like they might be doing that, but I think we all seem to agree that we were glad that they didn't, like, do it in that episode. Like, that... Not that they did it. That's not what I was going for. That they didn't...
That Jason's watching a different show.
That they didn't have...
He's got the A side. We have
that
the
they
B
didn't
side.
Have that relationship or that idea of a relationship move forward in that episode where we first saw that sort of possibility.
Right.
And that they've actually have made them more friends, where... An episode where she would help Rusty out is not a weird thing. Like, in the first season, she would have had nothing, you know, to do with him.
Right.
And so, I don't really have a problem with them going that route.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I don't have a problem with it. But I called it, and I loved it.
Since they've done it the way that they've... Or since they've executed the storyline, how about that? Does that work better? Since they've executed the storyline the way that they have and given it time to actually make sense, they've given Ashley things happen in her life, and they've developed a friendship, you know, outside of a romantic relationship. And so the idea that that could happen now actually makes sense, that that possibility could happen going forward.
Right. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. I mean, they're going to end up with Casey and Cappy, aren't they?
How can they not?
Right.
I think so. I think they've always kind of indicated that was the end game. We're obviously seeing Cappy kind of mature a little, so, and we're seeing Casey realize that it's not quite as easy to let go of the Greek system as she thought it would be.
Right.
So she's coming a little bit more onto seeing a little bit more of why he wouldn't want to give it up. So I think that they're slowly working them to getting back together. I mean, I don't know that we'll see it before the last episode or last two episodes, but I think they're moving them slowly that direction.
Well, I like that Beaver has these words of advice to Casey at the end that actually gets her thinking about things, and that he's sort of the big dumb idiot, but he's not really that. He still notices things and sees things and can make sense of some stuff. And I love that he's going to be like a kindergarten teacher or whatever.
Which frightens me a little bit for our future. But I do love the recurrent, you know.
But I did like the finally. What is this about the children? That was a pretty good payoff.
Oh my god, my favorite line. I want some of that. I want some of that too. I might love the combination of Casey and Beaver more than anything else in the world.
It was amazing. They have such like a good friendship comedy. Like they were a great buddy duo. Like I loved it.
On the mission to find the the study notes.
And then there's Heath. Oh my god. I love how they couldn't get over the fact that it was Heath, and Beaver just stays up on stage. Like just stays up there. Amazing.
And then later when he's like, oh my god, Cappy, Heath. And she's like, no, you're not supposed
remember,
to tell
we're not supposed to say anything.
Because of
it. Oh man. Greek, I mean, to sum it up, right. Greek has been fantastic. We're loving it. I will be sad to see this show go. But those of you who may be sad to see Greek go, I'm going to put in a little plug for my other favorite comedy about the Greek system, Glory Days. It just finished its first season on TBS, and I loved that show, so please go find it and catch up on that, too. Ray wants to say something about The Next Great Baker.
Was that? I guess that is Mondays because I watched it last night. All right, yeah. So I know that neither of you are watching this or watched it because it's over now. But I just had to mention it because everybody should go watch the second to – I'm sure they will repeat it – the second to last episode, not the finale. The second to last episode where there's still five people left and they have to do it's for Chevy. They have to build a cake for Chevy. And oh my god, all of the cakes were horrible, but one guy's cake, like his car, like their, what is it, the Cruise, Chevy Cruise, featured on Hawaii Five-O. The
meanwhile, Ray from her CBS promo team.
That wasn't product placement, everybody, just so you know.
But it could be Chevy if you would give me Chevy Cruise.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have to do these cakes for Chevy, and this person's cake, oh my god, it looked like it had been in an accident. And that's what he presented to the Chevy person. It was so bad. Mona and I just couldn't stop laughing because they kept, and of course, you know, it's TLC, so like they show it 1,000 times from every angle. So bad. It really looked like it had been an accident. And we're just like, oh my god. Like it was falling apart. The wheels were falling off of it. It was so bad. So I just wanted to tell everybody they should go watch that one episode in particular, or just fast forward to the end and just watch the presentation of all the cakes, just so that you can get a feel for just how horrible the car was.
So there's
it was
that.
Pretty funny.
Go find that on TLC. I'm sure there's a clip of it at TLC.com.
Oh, there probably
You're
is.
Like a walking
probably.
Advert for networks.
It's probably right up there front Monday. Center.
Our next, no, what? Our last Monday show is Castle. Now, I've kind of been a hesitant Castle fan. Not hesitant, but like, it's not the first show I watch every Monday. It's something I catch up on the weekends. I think Nathan Fillion's charming. I don't like Stan Akotik, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this, did everybody watch last night's episode?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So good. I don't know why, but the tension felt like more. It was exciting because they were working, you know, not as a part of, you know, they were exploring this without being, you know, with being told not to. And you know, Esposito and Ryan actually got some stuff to do besides just say yes to Kate Beckett. I just thought that this episode was really, really well done.
I think that every episode that has dealt with what happened to Beckett's mother mm-hmm. has been really strong. I mean, one of the best episodes last season was like episode, you know, somewhere around actually the same point in the season where, you know, she ended up having to shoot the guy that had information.
Right.
I think all of these, I think they have a lot of fun, you know, with all these episodes, but I think they have this, you know, this overarching storyline that keeps going, that each time they strike on an episode that deals with that, you know, pretty much exclusively, they do a really good job. And so far, I think they've done a really good job of expanding it, making it bigger, you know, each time, but not feeling, you know, like they've gone too far or anything.
Right.
That there's going to be a conclusion at some point, and there's going to be something much bigger behind it that won't seem, you know, like they just pulled it out of their ass somewhere to, you know, to give it an ending.
I really, really think that this, I mean, it's not that I don't think every episode's, you know, good. It's charming enough, but I don't know. I liked it. And I liked, yes, the kiss was for show, blah, 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 you know, so they could get their man that they were trying to get, you know, get into the club or whatever, but, or whatever they were trying to get into. I don't remember exactly, but it was done in a way that it's going to have an impact on both of them. And it's not going to be something that the writers of Castle are really good at this. They don't forget things that happen. Like, it'll be a sticking point. It'll be something. Like, even Castle's reaction to it, where he kind of was like, hold on, what? Like, it's going to be something. Like, I had someone, Khalil 2000, on Twitter yesterday, and I went back and forth about the will they or won't they of the show, and I was like, listen, if you're saying that this show is doing will they, won't they bad, then you shouldn't watch any other TV shows, because I think Castle does it the best, because they acknowledge that they both like each other.
For them not to get together. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a show that I think is handling it really well.
Yeah, plus we're not six seasons in and still trying to figure out ways to keep them apart.
Cough, bones, cough.
it seems more natural. Like, you know, in the first season, there was little hints of it, of possibility, you know, but they didn't really play up that until the second season a little bit, and then, but, you know, they've given actually, you know, good reasons or actually had people in a relationship with somebody else but it doesn't seem like they did it just so, you know, they could keep them apart type of thing. But I think that kiss worked really well in both that it came in a situation that your normal sort of get two characters to kiss for the first time where they're just doing it to, as a distraction, mm-hmm. but I think both of their reactions to it is what sells it.
Yeah.
And both makes it, both made the moment funny and yet pointed in the direction that, yeah, along with the moment earlier when she asked Castle why he keeps coming back and the look on his face then, you know, I think they played the whole episode really well on that level.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who follows me on Twitter... What?
Nothing.
No, for anybody who follows you on Twitter.
Follows me on Twitter and was curious what prompted my tweet about loving Nathan Fillion the other day. It was his reaction to the kiss. After she turns around, his reaction to the kiss and the way he like did that little like shook his shoulders kind of like.
Yeah. It just was reaction, so adorable.
That was what made me say it.
Yeah. So now you know. And that was amazing. Mm-hmm. The way you took him out, but yet was totally not talking about.
Right, exactly. So Castle, we're loving. I hope that they kind of keep that up though, and they don't go back to just, you know. I'm never mind. They'll get.
I just wanted to say one other thing about Castle. I just because we haven't talked in a long time about it, so the episode
she forgets. She already forgets what she wanted to say.
I was trying to say how to say it. The episode with Laura, what's her face, when she's playing the actress who might play Nikki Heat.
Oh yeah.
That was probably one of my favorite episodes.
I did love that episode.
She was really good.
She was really good.
She was really good in that, and I love. That has one of my favorite lines in the whole thing where Beckett is like, well, why didn't you sleep with me? I mean, her me, not me. And and Castle goes through the whole, a character that I wrote based on you, you know, blah, 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 all the way down the line. He's like, yeah, that's just too meta. That was one of my favorite lines of the show.
Yeah, I think that was a really, really solid episode. Just really charming. And Laura Prepon, she played Beckett so well. Really
yes. Good. And I guess I was bringing it up because Amory said she doesn't like What's Her Face. And I thought she actually did really well in that. Stan, whatever. I can never say her name right.
Yeah.
I thought she did really well in that
Stana,
episode.
Stana,
she,
whatever. She's super nice in real life. I really like her. I don't like her acting.
I understand. But I thought she did really well there, where we see the transition from her liking her to the transition from her like, okay, this is creeping me out.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that scene where she didn't know what to do with her arms, you know? She, like, didn't know how to stand.
They're all, like, crying on her in the...
Whispering about her.
They're all in the coffee, and, like, they're just standing behind the shade and just watching, and, like, all four of them are there.
Yeah, why are we hiding from creepy Beckett?
Love it. So that's Castle. That's our Monday kind of chat for now. Moving on to our only Tuesday show, White Collar, which I'm sad to say on some level that is the only USA show that I kind of make myself watch the night it airs, aside from when Psych is on. But like Burn Notice, Real Pains, I don't really care anymore. But White Collar I do, because I love Matt Bomer.
Have you both watched the first two?
Yes.
So you've seen you've both seen Tonight's already?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Premiere was fantastic. I love the idea of the group of them, you know, Burke, Steven coming together. And if you had told me 5-6 years ago that I would love Hillary Burton in anything, I would have laughed. I would have laughed hysterically in your face. I would have made up a website about how ridiculous you were.
Yeah.
You would have been blasted on Twitter, etc. Well, but
yeah,
she's great. I love her.
I sure hope that, I mean, she sort of went off... to look into something. I sure hope that she plays a bigger part in the rest of the season.
I mean, she's definitely this.
She has like 1,000 times more chemistry with Neil than Kate ever did.
She has 1,000 times more charisma than Kate ever did. So moving on then from Burke 7 to tonight's episode, which is not tonight's episode by the time you're listening to this. Holy God. The day I watched that, I kind of put out on Twitter that, like, I really love the flashback episode of White Collar, but I hate the charisma suck that is Kate. The response I got from people was very agreeing. Like, they all agreed with me. This girl...
I don't necessarily
agree
with
that. There's no chemistry with anybody.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they're... I guess not necessarily on the chemistry front, but at least on the story front, on who, you know, who she was, how he met her... Just being able to actually see the background and being able to get an idea of why.
Oh, sure. I don't mind that. I would rather have been an actress who can act.
But overall, I think that...
You can disagree to disagree because I don't like her at all. And I think she's...
I mean, I don't think that she was, like, great. She's not, like, a standout in the episode. But I didn't think that she, like, sucked the energy off the screen or something like that every time she came on.
She has no charisma.
I did like that the episode, to me... It gave you, not just with that storyline, but with all the sort of storylines, it played really well as here's everything that you really ever need to know about what happened leading up to this, you know, the first episode of the series.
And I do like Andrew McCarthy very much.
But I also like that it plays out that Neil went to jail and he knew that they were there. He had stayed, you know, he could have stayed away. And not gotten caught. And so I kind of liked it a little bit that it was almost like, yeah, you caught me, but I kind of let you catch me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of those elements played really, really well. Overall, as a flashback episode, it was, you know, it was your average flashback episode. I mean, it did all the, you know, funny mustaches and hairdos and all that kind of fun stuff that they do with episodes. But I think what made it work so well is the information that they provide that both gives backstory that makes everything else a little more meaningful. And then also sets up this guy that they, that continues the overall mystery of what's, you know, what's with the music box and everything else.
So, loving White Collar. Ray, was it you who said you were going to stop watching White Collar?
What I said was that I do not, I'm not hating White Collar. I've just kind of discovered that the absence didn't make it grow fonder.
Right.
As in, like, I've just gotten to the point where I watch it and I think, this is good, I am enjoying it, but like, I'm not anxious to watch it when I see that it's on the DVR, and I could probably go a week without watching it and not feel like I missed so much that I couldn't watch. I mean,
right.
Like, I could pick it up at any time and watch it, and maybe I would feel different because I actually do like the character, Hilliard Burton's character, so maybe if or when she comes back, I'll be a little bit more into it. I don't know.
Right.
I guess it didn't help that one of these episodes had to do with Kate, and I thought we were done with Kate.
Right. We were hoping that Kate was gone because she's dead. So that's White Collar. Talking about Wednesday now, Top Chef All-Stars. It's funny because I really liked Marcel, and I really thought he was super charming in person. But he's such an asshole. And then he's always like, they just edit me to be like that. I'm like, no. No, they didn't.
I think they... I'll be honest. I think they do edit it a little bit. I mean, I think he's definitely egotistical, and I think he totally plays up to the camera. Like, he totally does it to the camera. But I think they do a little bit of editing to make him seem that way, because Dale seems very laid back this season, but Dale is, like, the biggest douchebag in the world, so you know that they're doing a little bit of maneuvering there. Like, they have to do a little bit, but... That being said,
I don't want Blaze to win. I really don't. I don't know why. I don't know if it's his hair or what it is. I just don't want him to win.
I don't. I could care. I guess I don't really want him to win because I could care less about him.
Right. Is there anybody that you would really want to go home next? Like, who's next?
I'm not sure. One of the girls I find annoying.
Thank God Jamie's gone. Oh, thank God Jamie's gone.
Yeah, Jamie should have gone.
Thank God. She should have gone, like, the first week.
That
What else? What else? I don't know. Who else? I love Carla. Love Carla. So I don't mind her. But I don't really care, except I don't want Richard Blaze to win. That's pretty much it.
I just enjoy watching it. I really wish.
Yeah.
They really need to stop doing the team. Obviously, that's what challenges these people the most, but I get frustrated when every week it is a team challenge.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Anyway. All right.
So that's Top Chef All-Stars, which we're watching and loving. Moving on to Thursdays. Ray, I believe you had Bones on your list. Wondering what it is you would like to add about Bones.
Based on our previous discussion, I just wanted to bring up Bones because I did want to say that. I wanted, like, I could care less, actually, about the will they or won't they. I could care less. Partly because I've accepted that Hart Hansen has basically said that as long as the show is on, he's not going to put them together. So
and
I don't,
he said,
like,
it for years. It's not something he's just adding now. Like, he has said it forever.
I have just accepted it. However... Right. Let me just say that they need to get rid of Hannah. Not because she's an object, like, in between them. I could care less about that. That actress is just so bad. And she just, like, has no chemistry with any of them. I just need her to go away.
I just need her to go. I just need her to go.
Oy, sorry. Just had to get it out because I just don't like her. And I just dislike that they feel like they have to put her in. Like, I felt like... Just keep them both apart and be fine with them being both apart. Like, I think that now they've put them on this path where they have to get them together eventually because you put them on a path where it can only go that way because you've done it. You know what I mean? Like, they've both declared their feelings. So really now it's just about Booth admitting that he doesn't know that he still has feelings. But like, I think they could have gone forever with them at status quo. But no, they had to, like, do something. back at this place where everybody hates it.
It's an interesting thing, given that you would think that, you know, he's never going to go there. But he has sort of put in the episode where she sort of comes to realize that she actually does have feelings. That episode played in such a way that there was the line in it, something about, you know, it takes like two or three days or something like that, and to get to one place, and then it flips right back around, and two or three days later, you're right back in the same place, or something that I can't remember exactly the line. But that, you know, when she's talking to Veronica Mars's dad,
Rico. Hey, Rico.
That the idea in my head was they were just throwing this out there for like one episode, and then they were actually going to like play off of that. That it was pretty much going to, in a couple of days, it was going to go back to she was back to normal, sort of, right, so to speak, back to not really feeling or thinking that feelings are worth anything, going back to her normal sort of intellectual self. But then they didn't.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing I find strange, is that they didn't go back there. And so now they are like fully on the path now of having kicked it back over the other direction to now she finally has come around, but now the obstacle is Hannah. And so,
well, yeah. And the thing is,
it just seemed weird on that level that you're like, okay, it's like, if you're not going to do it, then I would have rather them stayed on the previous path and she never had this realization.
Right.
I think over time, for me, these types of characters where the common knowledge on the show with all the other characters that are all smart too seemed to, while she has the intellectual thing going and has all these reasons of why that's the way it should work, everybody else around her seems to think that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience, while they like her, seem to agree that that's not necessarily the case. And so overall, in a show like this, if you don't have that character sort of grow in that direction at all, it doesn't really make any sense to me personally. Like, that's the thing I like about House over the last couple seasons, is that they finally actually let his character, he's still the same, but there's growth there. He's, you know, he's come around a little bit in different things. And so I think they need to do that with the Bones character. It's a long time, like I said, we're six seasons in or whatever, and that's a long time for there to be no growth, and all of a sudden one special night she has some is kind of strange too, I think. But if they're actually never going to go that direction, I would rather that revelation never happened.
Right.
And they had just gone back the other way, because overall the show is fun.
I would like for Hannah to leave, and you know, there's some talk that with the upcoming storylines, there's an interesting way that it could go. Speculation alert. My problem with that and my worry is that they're going to have Hannah leave on some negative note, so that rather than Booth accepting that he really does love Brennan or whatever, it's going to be that Brennan kind of becomes a consolation prize, and I don't want that to happen either. So I just think I'm just frustrated with the show because Hannah's, Catherine Winnick is just, she's ridiculous. I just can't stand the actor. But who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us and the end of the season will change our minds. I'm not holding my breath. Yeah. Moving on to another Thursday.
She does sort of stand out and not in a good way.
Yeah. Because she's devoid of charisma. So, Fairly Legal on USA, which USA, I like their shows, and I usually am pretty, you know, into a show right away. This, for me, just, I like Sarah. I like Michael Trucco. I love Ethan Embry. Like, boy, was that a happy surprise when I saw him in there. But I don't know. The show for me was just not a show that I, like, loved right away. Am I right? Who's with me?
Yeah, I'm kind of there,
you
know, too.
I'm with you.
You know I'm with you.
Because you asked me.
When Ray and I were on set and we saw the first episode, I mean, I kind of liked it. You know, there's some fun in there, and it has, and it does, I think it does a good job of sort of introducing you to all the players.
Mm-hmm.
It does do that really well. But I think that first episode is so full of just like bad TV cliches. You know, I mean, you go through this whole opening segment that includes he has to like drop something to get her to shut up for that she's right behind me moment. And I was just like, really? do you have to go that bad off onto the... And that's not, like, the only time stuff like that pops up, that is just, like, they went to the TV writer's handbook of, okay, what do we... the beginner's guide or something, and it was really strange. I give them credit for doing a legal show and coming at it from a different direction.
Even though it's still, like, totally a law show.
With the mediation... I have a couple more episodes they sent out, or they put out available, you know, like an episode in the middle and an episode at the end, but I didn't really want to watch how it's going to end, you know, if I was actually going to watch more of... So I'm interested, but people that have watched those episodes say that, like, very little actual mediation ever takes place. So if that actually happens throughout the whole 10 episodes where there's not a lot of actual... mediation.
Well, the problem with mediation is that it's boring to watch.
Yeah.
That's why people do court shows, because the court is more exciting, but mediation is sitting around a table talking.
Yeah, because the thing is to send her out, like, in this first episode to, like, investigate stuff on her own and do all these other kind of things to make it interesting, that apparently they weren't able to find actual mediation-type cases to... you know, that are actually interesting, that you could have interesting characters going at each other and her trying to, I don't know.
Right.
It'll seem sort of strange if there's not a lot of actual mediation at some point in a show that's supposed to come at it from a mediation thing. I'm going to watch a couple more episodes. I'll probably watch through, like, the fourth episode, because I have the fourth episode, so I'll watch, like, the next couple and then watch the fourth one. And then... make my decision to see where it goes from there, but it didn't get off to as good a start as other recent, you know, additions.
Yeah,
to
I'll
lineup.
I'll watch it, but it's gonna be one of those shows where I can't really say whether or not I'm actually gonna catch up the same week it even airs. But I don't know. We could beat a dead horse forever if we go on talking about it. But so I just wanted to pop in.
Just real quick though. I mean, is that basically where you are at, Ray, with that? I mean, because I remember when you watched it the very first time that you had instant reservations with it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it more when I watched it. Like, I watched the pilot after it came out, and I enjoyed it a little more when I rewatched it, but I'm still not... I'm not into legal shows, so... And I don't care if this is a slightly different legal show, it's still a legal show. I'm not into that, so... We'll see. I'm going to watch. I have it recording, I guess. I think. I'm not positive. Because Mona kind of liked it. So I'll watch it again and see what I think about it again. But I probably will. It might be one of those that I might check out occasionally, but not watch all the time. Like Royal Pains or...
Right.
That's how I do those, too.
Which is so. Paired with.
Right. So there's that. And I just want to say that I think Ricky Gervais's show on Friday night, it's called The Ricky Gervais Show, is hysterically funny. And the first episode of season 2, I had to shut my office door at work because I was watching it. And normally I can watch a show in the background and I'm not, like, affected by it, but I was laughing out loud so often and so much that people were giving me dirty looks as they would walk by my office. So I shut the door so I could enjoy the show more fully. And I think it's just genius. And that combined with their Saturday show, An Idiot Abroad, on Science Channel, these three people, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, and Carl Pilkington, are just some of the funniest people in the world. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Our last show is a Saturday show, because yes, I know I made a big deal about how I'm not watching anything on Saturdays, but lo and behold, I'm actually watching a lot on Saturdays, including Candace Tells All, Color Splash, and Dear Genevieve on HGTV, which I have to say, I don't like Candace Tells All as much as I like Divine Design, but whatever, I love Candace Olsen, so we'll keep watching it. Funny story about Candace Olsen, this is completely off track, but I had to tell a story because I said to my mom yesterday at dinner that I love Candace Tells All and Candace Olsen, and she said, oh, isn't she the third Olsen twin? She's not. She could be the Olsen twins' mother. My mom is amazing. So,
I just like the idea of a third twin.
There is, well, yeah, exactly. She meant a third Olsen child, obviously. Anyway, so back to the point, the reason we're talking about Saturday is because a show that was canceled is no longer canceled, and Ray and I are watching it, and it's called Primeval.
That's right.
And
so happy it's back.
I am too. You know, I didn't think I'd be this happy, but I really am. I love Connor. I love Abby. What Ray and I, we talked about it yesterday, but how we're very nervous that they're going to use this latest problem as a reason to break up Connor and Abby, who, I mean, they spent a year in what, like the past, like this ancient past together. And through that, what, they fell in love. And suddenly, because Connor like sticks up for the guy who he kind of knows a little bit more about, she's like, well, he didn't really do anything to stick up for him.
Like, all he said was, well, mate, let's just talk about it. And then he had to be pulled away. So, like, that's what drew that pissed me off. Because I was just like, really? Like, it was just a momentary thing. Like, yeah. You went right ahead and we're going to kill, like, not kill. You went right ahead and we're going to try to release them all.
Right.
Without even without any further whatever. And I couldn't remember if that stuff was supposed to happen that day. And that's why she did it so fast. But it maybe. I would say that felt a little contrived within the show, but which again, that would be a reason that would piss me off if they broke him up, because they first of all, they contrived that scene to happen the way it did. But then also, as you say, they trusted each other so much for a year to keep each other alive, to have like this one little thing be the cause of their problems. No, like, and in the end, even though he may not have helped, he was right about, like, the situation was, like, the way she was jumping to the conclusion, you know what I mean? Like, have the discussion with somebody. Like, don't.
Right.
Like, isn't that what he said? Like, he's a reasonable person. Let's talk to him. And then he got pulled
away. Exactly.
Not that he's a reasonable person.
To go save people. And then people died anyway. Oh, my God.
Right. I was a little, like, I will say this, and I don't think I said this to you, that it was a little shocking because in the past, not that people haven't died, but they haven't, like, really, like, we haven't really seen it like that on the show.
Right.
Like, it was pretty.
Right, exactly.
Two people die. Two innocents die. And I think that that's probably where the difference is. Like, in the past, when the people have died, it's usually been the people who are being kind of assholes or whatever. But in this case, it was,
that's fine.
Right. Or, like, obviously people from the actual group have died. But that's a little different than.
Right.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, I
thought Becker was going to die.
I know. That would have been sad.
I was really, really, really pissed off about it because I love Becker. And I love Becker when he's in his civvies. Yeah, I love it. I don't know. It's just such a fun show. But it's so, like, not fun. It's so dark. There's, like, creatures killing people. And
that's what I mean. In the past, it wasn't really that dark.
No, it wasn't. I mean, there was always the creatures, but it wasn't like, look, we're a brand new show. Let's start killing people.
Right. The creatures didn't always kill people. That's what I mean. Like, they always managed to survive somehow. Even though impossibly. Exactly. Like, they wouldn't have survived, but it would
but
be
But for the
like
show, they did.
This episode where, you know, you think to yourself, please don't kill the girl. Please don't kill the girl. But of course he kills the girl.
Right, exactly.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So that's it for prime time tonight. Hope you've enjoyed it. We had a lot to say. And for those of you who made it this long, see, I want to say, I hate knowing, I was telling Ray this yesterday, like, I hate knowing spoilers and never knowing, like, how to present them without spoiling them and giving away my sword. But lots of death coming this spring, which is not really a spoiler. But there's a surprising amount of death on two shows in general. So we'll leave it there.
Wow. Give it. Every announcement music background. It's like the Craig show. We have to provide our own music.
Yeah.
We all need harmonica that we can play. Anyway, so we have a little announcement. Not that you won't notice this being different in the future, in the upcoming months. But I am going to take a reduced role in the podcast because I am closing down my TV blog. I will be blogging about TV, maybe on my own personal blog, but I'm closing down the actual Ramblings of a TV Whore. I'm not really sad about it. I haven't blogged since September, so I'm obviously not too sad about it. Sunil's blog about outsource doesn't count. Anyway, so in the upcoming months, I will only be available once a month to record, but in my absence, there will be great people, so you won't even notice me being gone. Some people you've had before, right?
Two people, yeah.
Two people you've had before. Some other people I'm sure that you all know from other TV blogs and on Twitter. So,
yeah.
Look forward to that.
Look forward to that. So that's pretty much it.
All right.
That's our show.
Ciao.
Way to end it on a downer, though. Lots of death. I'm shutting down my thing.
Yeah. Right after.
Starting this first death.
Right after Amory's spoiler alert.
Well, I didn't know Amory was going to do her spoiler alert.
I was just thinking about it because I was reading something else.
The TV horror dies.
Another announcement, even though we'll probably talk about it before then. Ray and I are going to L.A.
I might not talk about it before then.
Right. Ray doesn't exist anymore, so she may not talk about it. But we're going to Paley again. So look us up when you're there. We'll be there. But I mean, like, don't stalk me. But I'm perfectly... Her. You can stalk me. Let's be honest. I like being stalked. I like stalking people.
Just
so
no crazy stalkers.
Just no crazy people. Yeah. Don't hurt anything. So all that's right. It. Now that our show is just gone to hell.
It has gone to hell.
I have to say, though, that we went really long before into the podcast before we ever got derailed or went off into
We stayed on track. We stayed
right through Primeval.
Except
and
for
then
Saturday shows.
Right. Saturday. Anyway.
All right, now we're really... Okay, you can comment, leave feedback, whatever, on our website at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Jazz hands. or you can leave some feedback on iTunes. I know it's been a long time since we talked, but not talked, since we talked at you. I don't know.
Right, since we talked at you.
But we're back now, so there you go. Or you can Twitter us, you know. Our music was provided by Amory and also by IODAPromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers.
It's about that time. It's time to go.
By that, I mean I got to go make some food.
I got to go to my... Well, I'm debating on whether I'm going to go to my parents or not. I have some Elio's pizza here, and I really kind of want it. My mom's making food, so I'll feel bad if I don't go there. Tune in next week to find out what I did.
Oh my
God.
Anyway, it's time to go.
All right.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Here we go. Somebody was making noise. All right. Hello?
Sorry.
All right.